Someone once told me that no one says life is fair. When you hear that when you're young, you have no idea what it really means. Once you've lived a little, and then you lose everything, suddenly it makes sense. This podcast is a true life memoir of someone who lost everything and is rebuilding in search of who they once were. They're sharing their story as part of their healing process, and so that anyone else out there living through similar circumstance knows that they're not alone. Hey everybody, Dave the Clone here, checking in on another installment in the Feeling It, Healing It, A Diary of Recovery podcast. The ongoing saga of rebuilding a life after watching it all explode, implode, crumble away, fall to pieces. And, so we're blazing on through 2024 so far, and did not use that word to indicate any sort of falling off the wagon. I'm 426 days sober today, so that trend continues. But I do use the word blazing because it's as if a fire is just eating away and burning through the time. It's going by pretty fast. And I wasn't really sure I was going to record an entry today. I'm on the road heading over to see an old friend from college, and I have time on my hands in the car. But as I was driving along, things were starting to occur to me, like how important it is to really make ourselves get out of our safety, get in safety spaces, get out of our comfort zones, get out of the house. One of the things that's been difficult so far at the start of the year here since the holidays has been this kind of sense of the return of the foreboding and everything carrying so much weight. And life for me has really, as much as it's been sort of shifting and moving into positive momentum, the day-to-day has sort of taken on a mundanity that, while it's safe, while it's supportive, has been, in another way, contributing to the sort of regressive negative side of things. I mean, aside from going for my morning walks, which I didn't do this week because of both this injury that I've got to my foot that is being a little stubborn about healing completely, and trying to take care of some projects and get them squared away and off my plate so that I can maintain some cash flow while I'm making adjustments and shifting gears a little bit. It's looking very, very positive for this evolution with my one client going on their payroll, getting benefits, as well as finishing up recording the audiobook I'm working on. The editing phase is still ahead of me here, but getting it done now gives me a little bit of a jump on getting the editing done before it's actually due, which is a good thing, because I am imagining the author may have some revisions or want me to redo certain chapters, who knows. Definitely was a little bit challenging in the number of character voices and the number of female character voices, actually. But I have some tricks up my sleeve. I have some tools at my disposal. So I'm looking forward to impressing as much as possible. But that started to create the space or the experience of some longer days and some later nights. And And I've also this week begun working with a nutrition-based health and wellness coach, and they imparted on me the importance of getting 7 hours of sleep a night. So I, I'm entering a little bit of a period of adjustment here. And so this week, the morning walks kind of took a hiatus, which I need to get back to, because it's important to maintain some regular exercise. I'm probably going to have to even expand the regular exercise, but you know, like all beginnings, this is the difficult part, the sort of fitting all the pieces in place. But for the most part, you know, the day-to-day has been getting up, and other than going for those walks, it's been sitting in front of a laptop for hours and hours and hours each day in the basement of my parents' house. Now, that's not to say it's some dingy dungeon. It's a finished basement with a wet bar and a huge screen TV and all kinds of things. But the week that they were visiting my sister or watching my nephews while my sister and brother-in-law were both traveling for work, I actually moved my workstation up to the main floor where all the windows are, where the kitchen is, where the sort of where my parents spend most of their time, which when they're home, I don't work up there. And I noticed that even just seeing more sunlight, the basement does have a window and I do get sunlight so I can tell what time of day it is, but it's surprising when it's not as much light as is coming in on the first floor, how when all of a sudden you look up and it's dark outside. This other thing too, with the winter and the sort of seasonal affect of it being 6 o'clock in the afternoon and it looks like it's midnight from the darkness outside. You know, it does something to you. This sort of feeling of like, oh my God, you know, like a day just disappeared. And yes, it was a day I was productive. Yes, it was a day I got stuff done. But it almost feels like there's a certain level of like, you know, all right, it's kind of fun, the convenience of being able to work from home and being able to work in your pajamas if you want. But there's something about it that feels, I guess, unnatural and feels like, I guess, akin to sort of like what it must feel like if you're in a sanitarium or if you're in like a sort of, you know, medical observational type of situation. It just doesn't feel like I know it's not that I'm not doing anything with my time, but it also feels like I'm not doing anything with my time. And I think that affects things like when I think about getting back into a job where I'd actually have to be somewhere every day and getting back into a grind and getting back into having to put on the mask of everything's fine on days when everything isn't. And, you know, there's a certain level of like becoming complacent with this schedule, but then also knowing that I'm gonna have to break out of it, and knowing that it's obviously not giving me enough as far as income to feel like I'm back on my feet again. And there's so much stress around all the realities, around things like, you know, worrying about affording taxes, worrying about how am I ever gonna afford a place of my own again. And so what I'm noticing, the whole reason to come full circle back to why I wound up deciding to record right now is because even this trip, you know, this friend of mine has been asking me for weeks to come visit. They only live about 2.5 hours away from where I'm at with my parents. And it's always been, I'm like putting it off because, even today, it wound up that now today I have to make sure I get there immediately because I have a call with a client probably about a half hour after I arrive, maybe 40 minutes after I get there. And then right after that call ends, I have an interview for this part-time freelance gig. So there's stress around that. But the sort of, and this ties a little bit to the last installment about mindset, because, you know, the power of whatever perceived or imagined, you know, difficulty, stress, strain that would be occurring when I would think about, like, oh my God, I gotta pack. Oh my God, I gotta drive. My car is a little bit of a roll the dice type of situation, it feels lately. And, you know, as much as I will jump in the car with no care and drive a couple hours to visit my sisters or visit my nephews or my niece, deciding to do it to go see a friend where I don't even really know what we're going to be doing for most of the weekend, other than I think we're actually going to go attend the church I've been attending virtually on Sundays. So it'll be interesting. I'm really kind of looking forward to that, going in person for the first time. But, you know, there's a part of my mind that goes, oh man, this is just going to be 2 days where you're not doing any work. And there's something to be said for figuring out, in the grand scheme of all this, time to relax. I've just felt that I almost don't deserve that. And all of it is coming back to realizing how much power there is in the mind. You know, there's still a very present part of me is a little resentful when people say, you know, all of this is about your mindset. You know, you have the power. And it was funny because I read this in a post on LinkedIn today, and it was saying, not everybody's going to like reading this, but where you're exactly where you're supposed to be in life, because where you are is completely up to you. And it was written YOU in all capitals. And it was like, you know, everything starts with looking in the mirror and taking accountability and responsibility for the decisions you've made, for the decisions you continue to make, and whether or not you're hanging on to things from the past or building too much anxiety around things in a possible future that haven't come to pass. So really, it all comes down to where your mindset is, and once you're aware of that, are you willing to do the work to change it? Are you willing to do the work to take control and do what you need to do? Make the changes you need to make. Make the adjustments you need to make. And the biggest adjustment starts there, you know? And the only reason, and I'll admit, I was resentful when I was reading that, because I feel like I've done an awful lot. And anybody who's listened to these episodes, I think, can attest, even though I'm not perfect, and by no means am I saying I'm in any way a real coach of any kind. I'm somebody who's experienced just as many setbacks as they have moments of strides of progress. I'd be lying if I said that the heartache component was completely gone, even though it has taken a much further to the back of the bus back seat. There have definitely been days, especially in recent times, where there is a sadness that returns, thinking about how things unfolded in my last relationship, which I actually, as an aside, find myself conflicted about using as a term of art, because the last relationship being the one that I risked my whole life and moved to Virginia for and wound up losing everything as a result of, but then there was this sort of rebound relationship right after with somebody that I did care about and still do, even though there was a much more visceral and obvious gap between the way we sort of, our philosophies of life, let's say, and we're actually sort of in touch more these days, rekindling, I guess, the friendship side of things. But it's very difficult for me because the part of me that cares more than a friend feels like it'll always be that way for me. So it's a little bit painful to sort of be in contact knowing that it's not going to lead to anything resembling what we had. But that's probably for the best. I think as far as matching goes, there are parts of our personalities that mesh very well, and then there's parts of our fundamental personalities that are not on the same page at all. And that's, you know, one of the biggest lessons has to be for me that I have to hold on to and sort of actively use my mind to remind myself that there's nothing to be gained from being dishonest with yourself about what you want and need in a, oh great, in a partner, and what you plan on being available to be for a partner. I think I can look back, and for a lot of my life, there was a position of insecurity that had me of the mindset that I was just supposed to count my lucky stars. Anybody wanted to be my partner, and that I was willing to sacrifice myself on that altar. And that is what led to the ultimate sacrifice that I made, and not heeding. I'm gonna have to cut that out. And not heeding the red flags and warnings that were going off about how much of a risk I was taking and how vulnerable I was allowing myself to be. And so, you know, I resonate an awful lot.
Maryland 404 West.
I resonate an awful lot with the memes and the sort of, oh geez, social media posts that talk about how you really have to get to the point where you're caring about yourself more than anything else. And even when it's hard, you know, don't let loneliness drive you back to toxic people and toxic situations, because you shouldn't drink poison just because you're thirsty and don't have anything else to drink.
Continue on Maryland 404 West for 6 miles.
I really need to mute that. So, even with this sort of rekindled friendship, I have to kind of, in my own mind, tell myself to kind of keep it at arm's length, and not let my emotions get too wrapped up in false hopes. But that is part of this whole you are where you are because you are responsible for yourself. You know, there's on the religious side of things, there's this idea that we can't understand why everything happens the way it does. And for people who believe that there's a greater plan and that there's somebody in charge of that plan, in some ways, and this is the other thing, and I think this is what The Secret was saying today too on its page, was everything is good. Everything about everything is good, even negativity. And if you have to start to be able to see the good side of things underneath the negativity on top. So even, you know, it's taken me a while now. It's been years going through this period of trials and tribulations, I guess, on a personal level, to start to realize that this is probably a growth or an area of growth and personal evolution that I had been sidestepping and bypassing in all the decisions and relationships I was getting myself into earlier. You know, like not leaving a job when I was still in my prime, when I was no longer feeling fulfilled by the job, and, you know, using my momentum that I had and the safety net that I had at the time to be able to make that transition with more confidence, as opposed to now, where it's out of not complete desperation, but not complete confidence either. It's out of, it's trying to put so many broken pieces back together at once. And then also staying in relationships that I should have had the strength to leave when I realized they weren't fulfilling or weren't the relationships I was looking for, and not sort of hiding in that, well, this person wanted to be with me and I have to be grateful for that, and so it behooves me to stay and make it work and lose myself. It's funny, you know, to think that where I'm at now is a place where I have no choice but to face that I lost a lot of my identity and that I'm on this sort of journey to reclaim that and rediscover that. Yet when I broke off my engagement, that was one of the things that I was becoming keenly aware of was happening, was that all the acquiescence and all the sort of letting go of the things that I enjoyed or that made me me, just to be able to feel like I was making her happy because I was so, you know, lucky that somebody wanted to spend their time with me, was one of the reasons I felt confident about breaking that situation off, you know. And and yet here I am, and not only did I let that happen a little bit again, I let it happen completely. Like, in fact, that version of this phenomenon was mild compared to the one I'm trying to course correct from now. And trying very hard to live in a place where I don't hold on to regrets. I mean, I can acknowledge it, but I don't want it to be in the driver's seat anymore. And maybe it was the needed clarity of going sober, or just getting into a situation where I know I'm surrounded by an actual support system, as opposed to, you know, I guess I can call them friends, but the people who I had been living with who had no real capacity for being able to assist or shed any kind of guiding light. They were just as guilty of living in this kind of hiding away from responsibility and accountability.
Turn right onto US 50 West Ocean Gateway.
And it didn't serve my situation anything. It probably prolonged the sort of living in limbo. So, I'm not really sure, you know, what the...
Next right onto US 50 West Ocean Gateway.
I'm not really sure what the full takeaway is, but it seems like, for some reason, a lot of this is a lot easier to start thinking about.
Continue on US 50 West.
Oh my God. Does anyone else fucking hate GPSs for this shit? Like, yes, I'm completing the turn you just told me to make. Alright, now I will go straight since you told me to turn onto that fucking ridiculous. Anyway, sorry. But yeah, there's something about being on the road and realizing that, like, okay, you know, I sort of was avoiding this just because of the inconvenience of having to be on the road for a couple hours and the sort of time I'm losing, but there's a certain level of excitement about getting to hang out with my friend, and how really there is this danger of being stuck inside your own head for too much of the time. And the only way to get that perspective is to get out of your head. And sometimes the only way to do that is to get out of the space, get out of the place you're hiding in, get out of the place that you're staying in because it's comfortable. It's funny, there was a day where the sadness had returned and was really, really intense. And I was talking to a friend online and she was like, get out of the house, go to the grocery store, go do something, go to a movie. Whenever I feel like that, I force myself to get out of the house, even if I don't want to go. And it's remarkable how just doing that will help that fade away, or help push that to the back so that it's not in the driver's seat, so that it's not sort of running the show for the day. And I didn't take her advice that day, mostly because I didn't want to go to the grocery store. And, you know, where I'm at with my folks in Delaware, it's kind of like there's not a lot of stuff to go do other than go to the grocery store. There's actually this really nice lake that I could have gotten and walked around, and maybe I'll do that one day this week. But, you know, being in the car now, I was just sort of listening to music for about a half an hour once I got going here, and it was dawning on me, like, wow. A lot of it, too, is this kind of sense of being in the present, you know? This week, last couple days, I've been finding myself, I was really hoping to be doing another music therapy episode, because I found myself, I don't know what inspired it, but I decided to, you know, as much as I'd been talking about that there were, like, movies I would avoid and TV shows I'd avoided watching because of how much they're sort of memory tied to my last relationship, and, you know, I do a fair bit of active thought work to not let myself think about her anymore. I actually haven't said her name in several months, which was a suggestion from a friend slash client slash colleague who said, you know, I mean, obviously you're still in a lot of pain, and I can't tell you that that'll ever stop. I hope it will. I hope that time will be making that pain less and less as time goes on, and maybe you'll even meet somebody else someday. But I think at some point you need to start taking a more active role in not letting yourself let that pain have control or consume your time or consume your thoughts. And so maybe you make a deal with yourself after September, let's say, you're not going to say her name again, or you're not going to bring her up in conversation, even if you are thinking about her, or even if something reminds you of her, you're going to just let that moment pass like water over your back, you know, or like a breeze. And so I had been doing that. But there have definitely been some days where I found myself, I guess, in this sort of taking stock of things and going, you know, I'm more in trying to understand the necessity of being where I'm at now and of things unfolding the way they did and the way that experience shifted and everything I had hoped for that experience and why putting so much on a situation that had enough red flags and early warning signs that I think, you know, I have to get over and for the disappointment in and forgive myself for the mistake. And I think I'm getting there. Maybe because of the sort of momentum that I'm starting to feel around, you know, the prospects of new job situations and the mind work I'm doing, you know, keeping a gratitude journal, doing the 369 method of, which is a Nikola Tesla thing where you write down the things that you want in life or the things that you're trying to bring about in life, or dare I use the word manifesting, and you write it down 3 times in the morning, 6 times in the afternoon, 9 times at night. And all of that, you know, has added to this sort of new place I'm in. And I think seeing the sort of momentum change as a response to that has kind of given me a little bit of a feeling of you can work with the universe, that you can ask the universe for things and the universe will respond, but you have to be there mentally as well. You know, that's the big thing with The Secret, is this whole think positive, think about what you want, and think about it in terms of you've already got it. think and try to get your mind into the set of living as if you were already in that situation that you want. You know, you have to picture yourself driving around in the new car that you want. You have to picture yourself working at the new job that you're going for. You have to picture yourself in the sort of freedom that comes with being more financially sound, and that will respond to the attractive, you know, you'll start attracting all those things into reality. And so I'm starting to feel that. There's still trepidation. I'm still anxious. I need to step into my confidence more. So I'm still working on that. But even talking about it has been helping, you know. And I feel like the way my mind is as I'm doing this right now, as I'm driving along here, as I'm thinking about things, as I'm picturing things, it's sort of, it really is pretty remarkable how the mind works, how complex the mind is, and how sort of the power of realizing that really the only thing that exists is this present moment. You know, the past has already happened. You can't go back and change it. You can't do anything about it. And the future hasn't happened yet. So spending your time now worrying about things that are possible yet aren't real is unhelpful and is sort of not a great use of that time or your emotional space, you know, your emotional capital. And so I felt, you know, this drive, this moment where my thoughts are hitting this level of clarity was an important thing to acknowledge, both for myself and anybody else out there who is sort of following along on this journey with me. Because, you know, we all come to these places in our own way, and then we find ourselves in this kind of limbo, sort of lost, sort of adrift, and sort of reaching out to any and everything. And when you're reaching out to everything, instead of focusing your energy on getting to one thing, it can begin to feel hopeless. I'm pretty sure that has been a contributing factor, you know, and I think that's a certain amount of the impact and pain of all the sort of rejections from the job applications. But then starting to think about it and think, do I really want some of those jobs? Am I just applying to them because I need a job? I know that when I'm in the situation I'm in, it's not really the luxury you have to be able to consider things that way. But at the same time, where I'm at in my life, with my age, and the sort of window I have left here to figure this out, I kind of feel like it behooves me to make the right choice, to have the discernment to recognize a good choice from a mediocre choice, or a choice that's just going to prolong or rekindle even the feelings of soullessness and kind of imprisonment that I began to feel in my job. You know, I've spent all these months going, man, I wish I'd never quit that job, like sort of lamenting taking that step, when taking that step was something that was inevitable anyway. Taking that step was something that I was going to need to do. Now, granted, the way I went about it was misguided, and I have put in my life too much onus on others to be making the right choice for me, or too much faith in the advice of others, thinking, even if they were well-meaning, thinking they had my best interest at heart, it really all should have been coming from me. And I should have been feeling confident enough that I had the wherewithal to make those calls myself. And it all surfaces even now in like reading these job descriptions and going, yeah, I could do that. Yeah, there's no problem. I know how to do that. But do I want to spend my time doing that? You know, like sometimes I'll read a job description for a job I've never done before and go, you know, that almost seems like it would be more fun, or or more something that I would actually get some fulfillment out of doing. You know, I'm thinking about doing a course to earn my project management professional credential, because that could open up the doors to all kinds of things like event management and things along those lines. You know, getting back to working with people, working with different people all the time, seeing different places. You know, there's a certain amount of what I love about the potential situation I have right now, because all the work is remote and I can live wherever I want. So I can move back to Virginia. I can be close to my sisters and my niece and my nephews. But that doesn't mean I wouldn't also be able to travel and go take trips to different places to do project management, you know? So I'm suddenly kind of getting this inspiration or this thought pattern that maybe I don't need to be so narrowed in thinking, well, all right, I'm 44. This is what I've spent the last 20 years doing. So this is what I'm probably going to have to find a job doing. You know, maybe whatever I do in the next year or two is just yet another stepping stone on the way to something bigger and better that I've never even thought about before. And so I have to, like, do some active thought work there to open my mind and open my perspective. Now, I feel like with that one job opportunity or job prospect I had before the holidays, that's sort of the territory I was going to land in. And once I was being presented with that option, I got that same old apprehensiveness returning, the holy shit, can I do this? Which I think to a certain degree is normal. And having that anxiety, if it's in a more healthy way, will inspire and motivate you to do the best job you can and to really take the challenge head on and try to succeed. But that, then it turned out that the company, so there was maybe that trepidation I was feeling was seeing the company, seeing where their offices were, being a little surprised by the sort of setup, that it seemed much more like a equipment rental company than an event production company. And also, you know, not realizing some of the things they were saying to me, like, would you be willing to take a commissioned-based project as a sort of test run? What does that mean? You want me to work for free, and if it goes well, you'll throw me some money, and if it doesn't, if any new expenses arise, you're going to take them out of the commission I may or may not get. You know, I think I have to feel more comfortable being in a more authoritative position with all this. I mean, that's part of this whole thing. This part of this whole taking responsibility and accountability. It's like, look, this is my life. There should be nothing wrong with me asking questions or taking a stand. And if the taking a stand makes the opportunity go away, then that wasn't the right opportunity. If taking a stand makes them suddenly think I'm not worth the investment or worth the effort, well, then maybe they're not the great organization. I feel like an organization should respect that somebody has the awareness of themselves and their value. You know, there's an adage that says, if you're worried about overpricing and you're pricing yourself too low, that's going to speak volumes to potential clients as well, because they're going to say, well, what's wrong with this person that they're only billing this much for work that I know should cost double that? And so all of this is in the realm of confidence, which as I'm talking out loud here and hearing myself talk, I'm realizing more and more has been an area of true concern for me and an area that I have shied away from doing the work to fix. You know, I did this this sort of self-actualization, self-help training called Landmark. And I remember during the Landmark training, I was feeling much more confident. I was understanding where I'd fallen short with that. And it's funny how, as time has progressed away from that, I've regressed, which is what they say will happen. You know, part of the reason some of these programs are designed not only to have this kind of like whiz bang, shock your system opening seminar and then require follow-up seminars is because, all right, so for 3 days you had your eyes open. How many years did you spend with them closed before you got there? And I'm really kind of sensing the truth in that right now. And so I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to necessarily go and retake them because they're expensive. But yeah, it's definitely part of the ongoing, you know, needing to. And it's probably also why they say, you know, some of the more successful people in the world have gotten there by turning to and working with mentors and working with coaches, people who have already crossed the bridge that you're on, who can help you continue putting one foot in front of the other without retreating or falling back into the ways that got you into the situation you're in the first place. And I keep, you know, I think in a lot of ways, I keep waiting for that feeling of, which I expected to get at some point just from age, like where you feel like you're not a kid anymore, where you actually feel like an adult. You feel like you understand how things work. You feel like you have a handle on it and you know always what the right calls to make are and what the wrong calls are and how to avoid them. And yet here I am at 44, still feeling like a 20-year-old who doesn't know what the hell's going on. Feels like everything I've been able to accomplish or achieve up until now has been luck, and that's why it was able to come crashing down like a house of cards or a castle made of sand on shifting beach, eroding away as the waves come up. You know, I still hear in my head the way that this wellness coach put it, and that's some of the work that we're going to do together is, you know, trying to figure out where the triggers are that are making me, you know, eat unhealthy food or eat emotional eating and all these things that have sort of, you know, all right, it's great that I've gotten sober for over 400 days, but did I replace smoking weed with snacking more? And I absolutely have. I'm heavier than I've ever been in my life. I'm not happy about it at all. And at the same time, I had Chinese food last night, you know what I mean? And it's sort of like there is clearly some kind of a comfort that comes from eating foods that I like. And how do I, you know, I had my first meeting with her and it was, you know, there's only one time when eating is appropriate as a response to a need, and that's when your body is in need of fuel. You know, so if there's emotions that trigger you to run to the kitchen and grab a bag of chips or make a peanut butter sandwich or have ice cream, the important part of the journey is to discover what those triggers are and what sets them off, and to be able to recognize them and say, okay, I am not going to go eat a slice of pizza because I'm sad about my ex, or I'm not going to go eat a slice of pizza because I'm freaking out about not having a better paying job. And it's funny how we don't realize that these are the things that are easier for us to do when we're trying to take accountability and trying to be in control, as opposed to the work, you know, the realizing that your mind is in a certain propensity and that you need to shift the mindset. You know, shifting the mindset has been seriously some of the hardest part of this whole thing. You know, I just read this book called Mindset by Dr. Carol Dweck, PhD, and the whole thing versus the fixed mindset and the growth mindset, realizing how many things about how much of my life I've lived in a more fixed mindset than growth mindset, and starting to look at this whole situation as, you know, you're going to be that bald eagle, man, that decided to smash its beak off its face and pull out its own claws to grow a new beak and grow new sharp claws and reupholster its plumage so that it can, for the next 20 years, 30 years, fly around and be the fucking badass it was supposed to be this whole time. And it's only recently, man, it's only been maybe in the last month of coming out of the sort of immediate after the holidays darkness, starting to realize, like, yeah, that version of me is out there. It's almost like, not that I'm so much closer to the other side of this, but I know I can feel that there's another side now. I'm really mulling over this this option that I was just discussing with one of my clients about going part-time and how the hourly rate's going to be a little bit lower than what I've been billing them, but the guaranteed hours will be more, and there'll be health benefits, and there will be the potential for it to be more hours than they're guaranteeing because of these other sort of things they have in mind for the future. And how I still will have time to be able to do audiobooks and work for other clients and things like that. And how I have to, instead of looking at the immediate, like, oh, less money, I have to start looking at the potential, the growth potential beyond, and understand that this is sort of like a stepping stone and that it'll be up to me to make the most out of this. And so that was sort of the anxiety bully I woke up to this morning. Was the sort of, is this a good move? Is this the right move? And who do you ask about that? Who can give you that answer? You know, like maybe it sounds like less, but you weren't sure you were going to be able to bill these guys after the next month, because depending on how many more of these projects they have for you now, they're going to be making a more permanent investment. And who knows, if there's enough work, maybe it could lead to full time with them. And they're all remote. Everybody's everywhere. So, you know, it's living now in that open mind, the growth mindset, the opportunity, the not, oh, well, if it's this, it must be that, you know? And it's funny because the things that you wouldn't expect to have been detrimental that led to that fixed mindset, the whole, like, you've been praised for talents and abilities. So if you ever make a mistake, that mistake is now a referendum on the veracity of those talents and abilities. It's not a moment of you just being a human being who makes a mistake. And a mistake is just a moment that is teaching you about an area where you either have a blind spot or an area where you knew better and you just for a moment had a blip, had a, like a brain fart or a momentary belch of the universe, you know? And they say this is really something that gets instilled when we're children, especially in school, where there's so much competition, and sometimes there are even teachers that have this fixed mindset. The book mentioned a lot about how some teaching methods where at the beginning of the year the teacher is sort of like evaluating the kids in their class, and they say, oh, I can just tell this one's going to be hopeless, so we put all the ones that are the low performers over here and all the ones that are the high performers over here, and we heap all this praise on the high performers, and we sort of look down our nose at the low performers because we know that nothing we do is going to be able to change the way that they perform, which is a little horrific to think that this is how teachers of all people are looking at the world. And then there was an example given in the book of this teacher who was teaching at an inner city school in Chicago, and how she would talk to the kids who were having trouble and who were even purposely not performing and not participating. And she would say, you know, I love you and I'm not going to give up on you and I'm not going to let you give up on yourself. And that when they worked with them in a more nurturing way, one of the kids who was the biggest problem child and had the most difficulty came to the realization one day, reading Shakespeare, of all things, understanding what it meant, and saying to her, so I don't have to be dumb. So they are being ingrained in this kid's mind that because they were doing poorly and because they were responding to authority, whether it be their parents or teachers, and sort of shirking the responsibility of figuring out the challenge of working it until it made sense and of asking for help, they were given the impression that this is just who they are, that they have to be dumb, that they're dumb their whole life. It's been set in stone already. And so why bother trying? And once they realized that that wasn't the truth, they had a miraculous transformation. They became one of the high-performing students in the class, and the whole class elevated. And so it all comes back to the mind. And how the mind, it's weird how, like, it comes to a certain degree pre-wired, but with the complete ability to be rewired. And I think we have to realize how much power we have in the rewiring of our own minds, you know? The things we say to ourselves and the sort of, you know, so the idea of blaming my situation on a relationship or blaming it on my ex when that's not finding a way to grow from it, right? That's always saying, oh, well, if it had not been for them, I would still have a job that I was unhappy with. Maybe it would be easier to make choices and I would have a few more options at my fingertips in the immediate sense, but would I ever really wind up getting to a place where I was living a life that I was feeling fulfilled by? You know, this mentor that I worked with, this guy, Simon, he said, you know, I know it's really hard for you to see it this way, and I know that you've been through a lot, but you know, you're in a really advantageous position. You're in a really I don't know how, I'm trying to think of what word he used. Advantageous is a good word for it, but it was the idea that I have the opportunity to really mold and craft the life that I want right now, starting right now. I'm not beholden to any sort of artificial track that's been put ahead of me by a boss who's just using my abilities for their own ends, or a company that sees me as just a number in their ranks. It's going to take a lot of work. It's not going to be overnight, but life is an ever constantly moving forward journey. And since the past is what's already happened and the future isn't set, the future is up for grabs. The future is at the mercy of my creation. I am in a situation that probably a lot of people in some ways might even be envious of. Now, granted, there are things that my old fixed mindset had already put in place that would be sort of markers and milestones of what life was supposed to be like, what life should have been like by this age. Things like owning a home, being married, having kids. And for a while now, especially in the last couple of years, it's been easy to look at the fact that those things didn't happen and feel a sense of loss, feel a sense of failure and regret and beat myself up over it. When in reality, And one of the things that is a big part of the secret is learning to be grateful for everything that you have to be grateful for, even the things you didn't realize you have to be grateful for. And on the day that I read that page, I went out and I walked by myself. It was one of the days where my parents were away, and the rest of the group of neighbors wasn't walking, so I was walking by myself. And I was thinking about my ex, I was thinking about my last relationship, and I had to say, in the grand scheme of things, thank you to God, or whatever higher power we believe in, thank you for giving me the experience of being part of a family. Because for as much as it wasn't what was part of the plan we had made, which was for me to learn from her how to expand my business, to be able to be bringing in money so that she wasn't supporting us both. What I wound up learning more was what it's like to be a father. Even though I was only a stepfather, I suddenly had stepkids. I suddenly had kids that were, you know, looking to me for answers about mysteries and questions in life. And I was learning to cook to feed a family of four, sometimes a family of six, depending on if my temporary stepdaughter and her boyfriend were eating dinner with us. And so, you know, it may not be what I had intended to get out of that situation, but I was able to experience that. And while there were parts of it that I felt amazing about, and parts of that I felt were pretty fulfilling, It wasn't fulfilling me completely in the sense of the potential I still feel I have for what I'm supposed to be doing in this world. I'm trying to learn my purpose, and I know it has something to do with the creativity that I bring to the table. I'm just not sure 100% where that's going to land. But I still have a lot of options and a lot of opportunities ahead of me to figure that out. But had I stayed in that situation where I was then becoming limited into really being sort of a Mr. Mom and doing the grocery shopping and cleaning the house and cooking dinner and then being around to just prop up and give supply to my troubled ex, I would probably feel just as upset and pained as I was feeling in a job that I wasn't getting any real satisfaction out of. It wouldn't have been a life that would have been making me happy. In fact, it probably was a big part of why I wasn't feeling happy in that relationship and was afraid to admit to myself. So I actually said out loud, thank you for that experience. Thank you for showing me what that was like. And in a way, I had to thank my ex. And a lot of the, you know, I guess prayer work and gratitude work and not only asking forgiveness of myself for the mistakes that I made, I'm trying really hard to live into forgiving her and really, you know, praying for her, praying that the things in her that were broken, the pieces of her past that drive her behaviors now, that she found, because maybe it wasn't for me to be the person to provide that as much as I had thought that might have been one of my roles. And there you are, more fixed mindset, thinking that your role as a partner is to fix your partner. It's really more to be there to support them as they figure out how to do the work they need to do to fix themselves. And by support, it doesn't mean by being a punching bag or a doormat, but being there and still accepting and loving them. And so to try to get to a point where when I think about her, I don't immediately just feel heartbroken for myself and angry about what happened, but feel pity and hopeful for her to find the forgiveness and the peace that she needs to heal from what's wrong with her, what she's going through. And I will always be heartbroken that it was a part of my journey to be injured by that. But I'm sure there's something in having experienced that to be thankful for as well, especially if it made me start to see the dynamics of relationships for what they're really supposed to be. So I guess for having seen a post on LinkedIn that I was resentful over, I took a lot from it. And yeah, I feel like it's no coincidence that it is coming at a time where all these other sort of new things are happening and all this new momentum is happening and these opportunities are appearing and this sort of spiritual journey I'm on is taking the turns that it's taking, and that I'm reading the books that I'm reading and encountering the mentorship and the guidance that I'm encountering from folks. So I felt obligated as part of this journey, not obligated, that's the wrong word, inspired as part of this journey to share that with y'all today, because this is hard. I'm really understanding what Simon meant when he said it's going to be a lot of work and it's going to be hard, but on the other side of it is becoming what you've always had inside you to become. You know, he looked at my work on my LinkedIn page and he said, dude, you're the top of the top. You're going to be the top of the top. There's no reason for you to not feel that way. And so for whatever reason, these other companies and opportunities decided I wasn't the right fit for them. There's something greater to that, because they're probably places I wasn't supposed to wind up for any myriad of reasons I've already been discussing. And so, as I put in my gratitude journal, one day closer to being my best self, one day closer to getting back on my feet, and one day closer to getting beyond this dark and trying time, and to be thankful for these lessons that I'm learning from living through this dark and trying time. And I'm hoping that anyone out there who's in the same boat or in a similar boat or feeling similarly can start, you know, seeing the opportunities to shift your mindset and find a way to hopefully you're finding it helpful, and that maybe it can help you start to turn your journey and the momentum of your journey in a direction that is more healing than you thought you were going to be able to achieve. I still have a long way to go, and I'm trying to stop myself from looking for like a particular marker or landmark that's going to tell me I got there. I have a feeling that that doesn't exist. But when these sort of feelings of heaviness kind of take a permanent vacation, I think that'll be a pretty good indicator that I'm in a much better place. And I'm hoping we can all get there together. So until next time.
You've been listening to a production of the Hollow Nine Network. Feeling It, Healing It, A Diary of Recovery, featuring Dave Maresca. Thank you for listening to Feeling It, Healing It, A Diary of Recovery. Dave Maresca is not a trained medical professional, psychologist, psychiatrist, or licensed professional trained in providing therapeutic mental health care. This podcast is an account of his life experiences and meant to be just that. Any advice or suggestions made in the extemporaneous dialogue of the podcast is not intended to be medical or legal advice. If such advice is what you're seeking, you are encouraged to seek out the services of a licensed professional. The Hollow Nine Network and Dave Maresca assume no liability or responsibility for the information provided in these episodes.